This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome back in the studio. Very exciting times this past weekend at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C., where the beloved Wahoos did very well. Ultimately, they did not win the tournament. But you know what? I think it's a great sign that Virginia fans are probably a little edgy, a little disgruntled that the Cavs didn't take the heels again. But you know what? That shows how far the program has come. And despite the loss, Virginia still got that number one seed, which I predicted they would.
Well, I don't know if I made any predictions. Carolina is a very good basketball team. The sad thing from my perspective is I think given the ACC, when you look at Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Miami, Notre Dame, you go on down the list, it's going to get increasingly difficult to get to the title game. So when you get there, you've got an opportunity. So it was an opportunity lost. Nevertheless, Virginia, it's not like they played well, they shot the ball poorly. Certainly the effort was there. The focus was there. Give North Carolina credit. I think North Carolina played probably one of their best defensive games of the year.
But so did Virginia. Virginia held them to, 61, 62?
Yeah, the tempo was in Virginia's favor. I think if you would have told people before the game the final score is going to be 61-57, I think a lot of people would have thought, Virginia's going to win that game.
Yes.
Because they're playing at their tempo.
My point.
But, Brogdon and Perantes, 9 for 36 overall and 4 of 17 from 3. So, and again, you got to give Carolina credit for the defense, but some of those threes were good looks. And you and I were talking earlier today, there was a point at the under 10-minute mark where Virginia was up 4 and London had a open look from the deep right corner that would have made it a 7-point cushion. Unfortunately, he missed it. It was not a guarded shot. He had an open look, and that's the kind of shot that normally he's going to knock down.
Trade him. Put him on the blocks.
Well, I'm not going that far yet. But
darn it.
It was one of those games where you felt like the first team that got like a little bit of a working margin was going to really be at an advantage, because otherwise the game was pretty much back and forth, 2 or 3 point lead one way or the other throughout the whole first 30 minutes of the game.
Two comments about the game, and then we'll talk about our two exciting guests. We do have Curtis Staples and Chris Wright joining us. Curtis in the first half hour. Quickly, my 2 points of these. Number one, courtside for every game but the finals, they called everything. The whistles were blowing left and right. In fact, UVA versus Miami was a slugfest. 41 fouls were called in that game. They probably could have called 50 the way they were calling the game. The irony to me was that in the finals, they didn't blow any whistles. They blew only a total of 20 whistles in the finals, and probably 8 of them in the last minute or so when Virginia had to foul, which meant anything goes. And I think that played to the advantage of the taller, bigger men of Carolina.
Maybe. But, Virginia also can, when the officials allow it, will play a little more aggressively on the defensive end as well. So I don't think it was an officiating thing.
It's a contrast.
And the one thing, Carolina, they had 6, 7, 8 turnovers in the first half and only had a couple of turnovers in the second half. So they tightened up their offensive possessions. Virginia in the first half actually got some transition opportunities off Carolina turnovers, which helped. So hats off to Carolina. They're a heck of a basketball team. I want to play him in the national semifinals.
Oh, that's an rubber game.
That's rubber game down in Houston.
That's an exciting thought. Unfortunately, there's a lot of basketball between now and then.
Yeah, we got to worry about the Hampton Pirates first.
Yeah, first you got to play the Pirates, and they're rugged and tough. 22-10, maybe, or something like that.
I think 21-10, but yeah, we'll have it here in a moment.
The Pirates have got like five seniors in their top six players in their roster. They've been to the NCAAs on a regular occasion of late. Not a team that's going to be intimidated by being in the dance, but certainly a team Virginia should beat. And, you know, the Cavaliers, I believe, are favored by 14, I think.
No, I haven't looked at the line.
I think I saw that somewhere.
But it's certainly playing in Raleigh. It's a building that, you know, most of the
– I'm sorry, hold on. Virginia favored by 24.
24?
24. That's a lot of enchiladas, boys and girls.
Yeah, that's.
I wouldn't bet on that score there.
Although the last time I looked, obviously Virginia's played Hampton seven times in history and have won all the games. And the most recent was in 2014, where Virginia did win by a lopsided margin in Charlottesville. So, but that was another year. So the key is to get down there and be focused, play with a lot of energy, take care of business as quickly as you can, and hopefully move on to the game Saturday against either Butler or Texas Tech.
My second point, which I forgot to go right to concerning the game, was the fact that in the semifinals, Virginia had to play a very strong, tall, rugged team in Miami. And I think Virginia got beat up a little bit in that game. The game did not end till very late. I remember walking out of the Verizon Center after the press conference and walking alongside Toby and Gil and some of those guys. And, you know, they were not jogging to the bus. Let's put it like that.
And Carolina had to play three straight days, too. But their game against Notre Dame was a lot easier.
Cupcakes.
And Notre Dame's not a cupcake.
They rolled over.
But, Carolina won by almost 30, or maybe it was 30. But clearly their frontline guys did not have to expend the energy on Friday that Virginia did, and as you said, Virginia played the second game, but that's the difference between being the first seed and the second seed. They try to give some advantages to the team that finished first. But all that being said, and of course the other factor that relates to what you're saying, is Brogdon and Prontes usually play 34 or 35 minutes in a lot of these games, and I think against Miami, because the game was in question until very late. You got the stat sheet right there.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to tell you, in the Miami game, Brogdon played 37 minutes and Prentice 34.
Yeah, so they don't get too many rests during the game.
And I think that led to the fact that they had dead legs in the second half against Carolina.
Which could impact their shooting. That could have been one of the reasons
why. They couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Well, they struggled a little bit. But
all right, let's go to our first guest. We've got Curtis Staples coming online here. What a fabulous shooter, Habo. He set the record, I believe the NCAA record, for most three-pointers made. Habo's a little confused that Curtis apparently stepped on the line about 200
Curtis,
times.
Yeah, Curtis, here's my question. I was looking at your stats, and you took 327 shots inside the three-point line. Did you have your foot on the line that many times?
I can't recall. It's been so long ago, man.
Well, if it's been a long time for you, where does that leave me? I played with the Peach Basket. It was a little different circumstances then. But at any rate, it's great to have you on. Clearly, we joke about it, but I've said many times since I did the games on radio your last 2 years, you had the quickest release of anybody that I've ever seen. And given the defense that other teams were trying to put on you, you had to have a quick release or you weren't going to get it off. But Frank said, obviously, your buddy Norman Nolan was the ACC legend for Virginia this year. Talk a little bit about your relationship with Norman and how the two of you played together back in the day.
No, yeah, just definitely really proud of Norman. You know, he's one of my best friends. We talk every day, multiple times per day. So it was just really good to see him achieve that honor. And, you know, he was a great player when he was in college, definitely.
You know, Curtis, Norman sat with us courtside for our show on Thursday, and we had a lot of fun with Norman. And after we went to our, like, second break and he was able to step away, Norman said something about your wife calls him Norma because you guys talk so much on the phone. Is that true?
It is true. She does. Both our wives give us a hard time because we're always on the phone. So it's late at night, you know, before she goes to bed, she knows who I'm talking to. She'll come downstairs and say, "Tell Norma I said good night."
He said, you know, part of the reason he's one of the all-time Virginia rebounders was rebounding your missus.
Now, I don't know about that, because it wasn't too many of them.
I was just kidding. He didn't say that at all. But, well, listen, you're down there in Lynchburg, so I'm sure you follow the Hoos pretty carefully. What's your analysis and assessment of the Virginia team this year so far?
Well, I mean, for me, you know, they look good. But the one thing that worries me, and I've said this for the last few years when I've been asked about the team, they do a great job on defense, maybe not as strong as they have been in the past, but still a really good, strong defensive team. But I get worried about when they go cold so long. There's nobody that can really, you know, if Brogdon is not on and not having a game of his life and they go cold, we're in trouble. And it happens every year. At one point in time, I just hope we don't see Michigan State again, but at the same time, we always go cold. And against really good teams, you cannot afford to go cold for, you know, as long as they go cold at times. So that's the biggest thing that worries me in the tournament.
Yeah, because even against Carolina, I don't have the exact number, but I think it was a 7 or 8 minute stretch there in the second half where they didn't have a field goal. Which, against a team the caliber of Carolina, that does make it really tough. What I know you're a coach now. What are the keys to try to avoid a long scoreless spell like that? Maybe having a big guy down in the low block.
Well, I mean, it's really not a you know, a formula to make that get better. I mean, that's just, you know, you just have to hope that personnel-wise guys are playing very well and you don't have a night where everybody's off at the same time or a time period in a game where everybody's just not scoring. So, I mean, Virginia has enough scores to not have that happen, but that's always been the biggest issue. It's always been a problem the last few years. You know, at one point in time, finding a way to make baskets at times has just been tough.
Well, you know, one good thing that came out of the ACC tournament, besides the fact the Hoos made it to the finals and acquitted themselves quite well, is the fact that quite a few other players did step up and made some terrific contributions at the offensive end. And I'm going to point at Mariel Shayok. He seems to have regained some of the swagger that he had last year. And looking at some of the others, maybe Evan Nolte has finally rediscovered his shot.
Yeah.
And teams won't know that if he's drifting on the perimeter, he's ready to fire it up. So if those guys can help, I don't know what's happened to Devin Hall. Devin Hall drives the lane and throws up what appears to be reckless shots. I don't know. He's not what he was 3 weeks ago. But Toby needs to get in there and fight more on the inside. And I'd like to see him get – some more minutes because he does block a few shots and he does get rebounds. And Virginia did get a lot of offensive rebounds against Carolina.
So. Yeah, they did. They did. They look like they made a point to crash the boards a lot more than they have in the past. But just like you said, I think a lot of those guys, you know, you have to make a concerted effort to give something when they come, regardless of if they're going to play 5 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes. Those guys coming off the bench have to be contributors and help with the pace of the game and not let it go down.
You know, Curtis, obviously Thursday, a little after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Virginia opens NCAA tournament play against the Hampton Pirates. I guess a 1-16 game. That's a game they're heavily favored against a lesser team. What does Virginia need to do in a game like that? Try to go out and try to take care of business as quickly as possible?
Yes, I mean, I think they just play their game, their regular game. They won't have a problem with that team. The team is just not talented enough to beat Virginia. And, you know, in the end, they just go out and do their thing, and I think they'll open up a lead pretty quickly. I can't see the game staying close.
Does it help at all that Virginia, since it's at the RBC Center where Virginia has played before, does that give them a little advantage being somewhat familiar with the surroundings down there?
You would hope so. You would hope so, but I just think, you know, tournament time, it's kind of hard to, you know, everybody's pretty much in the same spot because it's still not a court that they played on a lot. They have played on it before, but they're not used to it per se. So, you know, maybe it'll help, maybe not. But regardless, I think they'll be fine.
You know, speaking of Raleigh, I remember maybe it was your senior year where you just lit up the Wolfpack there in the old Reynolds Coliseum. Do you remember that game?
Oh, I had 9 3-pointers in the first half. I remember that.
Yeah, we would call that lighting them up.
I remember saying at halftime, I'm finally going to break my own record because I had 9 3-pointers was the most, and it was my own record. I remember saying at halftime, I'm going to finally break 9 because I had 9 3-pointers in the game like 3 or 4 times my last year. And so I'm saying, okay, I'm going to get it. And I go out there in the second half. They put a boxing one on me. I never get another three-point shot.
Yeah, so. I'm sure their coach at halftime said, I want you to tackle that guy if you have to, but don't let him get another shot.
Well, they did a good job. Their plan worked.
Curtis, I know that you've been coaching at Virginia Episcopal now for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Talk about this past season, and I know you were very successful.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been there for 6 years. I actually head coach for 6 years, and you know, we just won another state championship just a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact. So it's been a really great situation. I've been really blessed to have, you know, good administration behind me, and been very supportive of the type of teams that I've been able to assemble. And you know, we sent over 20 kids to top Division I schools, and since I've been there, so it's been working out great. I love it.
Do you like coaching at that level, or would you ever think about going to the college level?
Yeah, I would definitely consider it. You know, I'm very competitive, so for me, it's just, you know, once you do something for a while, just keep setting the bar higher and higher. So now, you know, I just got a lot of this experience behind my back, and you know, behind me now, and I'm looking forward to whatever presents itself.
You know, we always talk about Roanoke, J.R. Reynolds, you, J.J. Redick. What was it in the water down there in Roanoke that caused people to be such good perimeter shooters?
You know, I have no idea. A lot of people always ask me those questions, but if you really think about it, it's so true. Some of the best shooters that I've ever played the game have come, you know, right out of that Southwest Virginia area. So it's been pretty amazing to have that many. And you got to include people like Doug Day, who was actually the national record holder a couple of years before I broke it. And it's been a lot of really, really good, great shooters that come out of that area.
All right. Terrific thoughts there. Curtis, we'd like to carry you over to the other side. We've got a commercial break right here. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking, and a little bit more with Curtis Staples on the other side.